This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.
I'm just trying to enjoy a nice fermented beverage, you know?
Fermented stuff is all the rage these days. I'm not referring to beer, wine, and spirits, though those are all the rage as well. I'm referring to a lot of other foodstuffs. Playing with Food has highlighted fermented apple cider vinegar, coconut milk fermented into yogurt, and has engaged in a general conversation about the health benefits of fermented foodstuffs.
What you sipping on, DJ Dave?
That's kombucha.
What's it taste like?
Man, it's not like what you used to.
What flavor should I try?
Whatever flavor suits you.
Do they make one with ginger?
Man, that's my favorite root, bro.
What's it called again?
This here? That's kombucha.
And the taste?
Like I said, man, it's not what you used to.
But one fermented product is popping up all over the Central Coast, and not just for sale, but in people's garages. And that's kombucha. This fermented tea beverage is not to be confused with the squash kombucha, but one will be forgiven if one occasionally interchanges the two words, because I do it all the time. There are several commercial kombucha brewers on the Central Coast, and many, many home brewers. To get a taste, literally, of what kombucha is, I sought out one of each, and I can honestly say that I'm a changed man. So first, follow me down to Santa Barbara.
My name's Chip Nasser, and I'm the brewery manager at Night Lizard Brewing Company.
So we're here to talk about kombucha, which I don't even know what it is, and I've never tasted it.
Oh, cool. Kombucha is a fermented tea. Primarily, kombucha, by definition, is black tea and sugar mixed together. Our product here that we make is closer to Jun, which is a Chinese beverage. It was invented 200 BC, was named by the Japanese in around 480. And the difference between Jun and kombucha is Jun is primarily green tea fermented with honey as the sugar, whereas kombucha is usually black tea fermented with like a coarse grain sugar or brown sugar, white sugar, refined sugar.
If it's fermented, is it alcoholic?
It is. Naturally, kombucha is about 0.5% to 1% alcohol by volume. In here, we make a hard kombucha, which is a 5% alcohol kombucha. We do that by blending a alcoholic base malt, a clear malt beverage, with our mother colony of probiotic kombucha that is grown using a SCOBY. A SCOBY is unique to kombucha. It's an acronym for a symbiotic colony of yeast and bacteria. That's what produces all of those beneficial probiotics, the amino acids, everything that everyone says that kombucha is good for you. Ours, we make it a little bit more of like a good for you, but you could still have a good time and get a little bit of alcohol in your system with the 5%, and we use that by blending the two together.
The acronym SCOBY is symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast rather than yeast and bacteria. Night Lizard is a full-on microbrewery in the middle of downtown Santa Barbara on State Street, complete with a bar and food service, all together in one open space, so you will hear the workings of the brewery in the background and in the foreground. Kombucha is much easier to make than beer, and Chip took me through the process step by step.
So we have two barrels that we make our kombucha in. Both are decommissioned Cabernet Sauvignon wine barrels that are neutral. This first barrel over here is our SCOBY mother, and this is our low alcohol. It's got about 1% alcohol inside of here. And this is a mother colony that we keep growing continuously. That white film that you see over the top, they used to call it a mushroom tea in Japan, and that's because of that floating bacteria on there, bacteria and yeast colony. And you can actually see the active yeast happening through these little holes, producing CO2 and alcohol as a byproduct.
And you can smell it as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's strong, almost like vinegar. And if you were to keep it going, it would get that really strong vinegar taste over. We cycle this out as we aliquot out 15, 20 gallons at a time. We then feed it with the green tea and the sugar back to keep that house culture going. And now this is adapted to both the barrel and our little bit higher alcohol that we produce in there. This barrel over here is where we make our clear malt beverage to blend with that SCOBY culture. In here, we just have a sorghum extract, which is a malt product that we then put yeast into, and it just ferments just a clear liquid up to about 7% ABV. We then blend that back with the 1% alcohol to get it down to our 5% kombucha ratio. We really are blending to taste to get that little bit of kombucha flavor, but at the same time get you the alcohol as well. So our mother is from a local brew store here, from some people in town that were growing kombucha as a hobby, and we bought it from a commercial brewery store, grew it up. It took us about a month and a half for us to get a viable living culture in there, both because of the oak barrel, the little bit of the tannins that were in the side of that barrel from the Cabernet days, I think negatively impacted it to start off. But now it's living everything inside of the wood. Why the barrel is advantageous is because the whole barrel respirates. So really it provides all of that oxygen and stuff. Usually in beer, kind of want to limit the oxygen, that unless you're making a barrel aged beer, it kind of gives you that sherry note. So in our case, we want the breathability in there so that yeast really, really stays healthy and stuff like that. And we don't care if there's any byproduct on the flavor because we're blending it back with that clear malt beverage that we've done.
And it's with that mother that anyone can start their own kombucha factory.
Yeah, you could just take a little slice of that SCOBY mother, as we call it, that big mat of white. You want it to be white or flesh toned. It does turn black and die off. You don't want to get that as your culture. But you could take a little quarter size piece, throw it in a mason jar with some black or green tea that you made at home, cap it so there's a little air exchange on there, and then you could make your own kombucha just like we made at your house.
And that's exactly what my next guest did.
My name is Garrett Olson, and I am a consultant that helps communities with strategic and emergency planning.
What does that have to do with kombucha?
Absolutely nothing, except my consulting partner, Rob, and I absolutely love kombucha in the early afternoon. Super refreshing, great flavor, good pick-me-up, super healthy. Yeah, so that's a connection to consulting. My kombucha started 15 years ago. The SCOBY is a lot like how people will treat a sourdough starter. They'll get a good starter going, and then they'll just keep propagating it over and over and over and over and over. And years down the road, they've got this great history. And so this is one that I actually got from San Luis Obispo City Manager Derek Johnson, who got it from a neighbor friend who's been growing the same SCOBY now for over 15 years. And so when I got it, you can see right now, it's maybe about 2 inches thick. It's this weird kind of fatty looking goo floating on the top of tea that was made a week ago. And when I got it, it was maybe quarter of an inch thick. And this is about my eighth batch of kombucha total. And you can see it's quadrupled in size at least. And if you give it a sniff, it smells kind of vinegary.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. This is the kombucha that has been sitting with the SCOBY for the last 7 days, room temperature, covered with a loose cloth so it allows to off gas. And so we're going to move the SCOBY into another vessel so that we can bottle this. And then we preserve about 2 cups of the processed kombucha with the SCOBY as the starter for the fresh tea that we're going to prepare and then bottle a week from now. I am going to transfer this to the other vessel. It feels a bit like a sea anemone. It's a little slimy. You can pet the SCOBY and it will make your skin crawl.
Your SCOBY is big, about 6 inches in diameter. It's about 3 inches thick.
Scare children with it, I guess. Maybe if I could put it on my face and do Silence of the Lambs. Oh, hello, Clarice.
Wasn't there one of the Alien films where that one was suspended in water? Because that's what that looks like.
Yeah, it kind of does. I mean, it looks like a whole lot of things gross. You could take a picture from this and say, fill in the caption and you win a prize.
Yeah.
And there'd be all sorts of disgusting responses.
Well, yeah. Do you know what's in it?
Yeah, a little bit at least. It's a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast.
Oh, okay. So what's it good for you?
Yeah, man, it's a beast. It detoxifies the body with an emotional release.
Wow. Where's it come from?
Originally Northeast China, but you ain't got to go that far. There's a store right behind you.
Oh, I can get some over there?
Yeah, they got what you need.
Once the all-important SCOBY is sorted out, it's time to work with the tea. You will hear, one after another, that the commercial process and the home process differ only in scale.
So we'll get the dry leaves, we'll make 31 gallons of tea. We'll pasteurize it, bring it up to 180 degrees, drop it down to about 60, 65 degrees, kick it into the barrel right there. Once it's been in that barrel, we'll add supplemental oxygen. That's really creating a hospitable environment for the yeast. And that's how we make our alcoholic side of the kombucha.
Okay.
For the mother one, we'll do one half of the strength of that alcoholic batch back to the mother. Same exact process of 31 gallons as opposed to about 1,300 grams of tea. We're going to add 700 grams of tea. We really want the mother to be not stressed. And then once both of those are finished, we then blend them back together to taste.
From the time you open the package of tea,
yep,
to the time you serve it to a customer, how long does that take?
I'd say about 14 days. So we end up making it about 2 to 3 times a month, depending on consumption.
So the normal cycle for making kombucha is about 10 days start to finish. Last night, I brewed up some tea with sugar. And so this is 21 cups of water that I brought to a boil, added a cup and a half of sugar, and 12 black tea bags, unflavored, regular run-of-the-mill, cheapo black tea, and let them sit overnight until they came to room temperature. And that's what is in here.
Looks like
the SCOBY will chew up most of the sugar and a lot of the caffeine. And so even those people that are pretty sensitive to caffeine and would never dream of having a cup of coffee in the afternoon, this kombucha you could drink with dinner and not have any trouble whatsoever sleeping at night. And then because it chews on a lot of the sugar, it doesn't have all of the calories that you would have if you simply made sweet tea.
Then it was all about the flavors.
So you could just bottle it with just a little bit of sugar to wake it up and make it effervescent. But I prefer this is the time when you really flavor it. So you don't flavor it when the SCOBY is floating in the tea, or you might harm the SCOBY. And you don't add flavored tea. So I enjoy Earl Grey. Earl Grey's got oils in it that they add. And so you wouldn't want to use Earl Grey. I'm super excited that we will soon have tangerines out front, because then I'll figure out, ooh, what do I pair with a tangerine? I mean, it could just be tangerine, which would be lovely, but it's always fun to just add a little something. So I hate to go back to mint again, but mint's just a nice kind of background flavor and does really well in the kombucha. So now what we're gonna do is we're gonna figure out what we want to add. And you can add so many amazing things. Google is your friend. There are millions of things you can add to kombucha. Today, what we're gonna do is lemon, ginger, and turmeric with a couple of whole peppercorns in there, because I've heard that turmeric does not have its bioavailability of inflammation reduction if it is not in an environment with pepper. So you don't really taste the pepper that much, but hopefully it makes turmeric happy for our joints. And turmeric and ginger are very complementary kind of peppery root flavors that we really enjoy.
I mean, we do add fruit flavors to our kombucha. So the one that you tasted has a little bit of mango and key lime. We do that right at the end of fermentation, right before we put it into keg, so that the yeast and the SCOBY don't eat up those sugars and it keeps it sweet. We also have done a pineapple guava kombucha, and then also a pomegranate Chisandra berry one as well, which is pretty unique, a little bit tart and bitter. Chisandra berry is it's a very popular berry, almost like a juniper berry. It's popular in the holistic community right now. It's got a lot of unique antioxidants and stuff in it.
I'm going to add the kombucha that's been sitting for a week to the vessels. So I pour it until it just starts to approach the neck of the bottle. So I've got enough room to add the ginger turmeric juice and then the lemon. So there's enough room for it to create the CO2.
Have you ever had any of them explode?
I've heard stories of exploding ones. And the first time I made it, I slept poorly at night thinking I was going to wake up to shards of glass and sticky sweet tea all over the garage. And so far I've been good or lucky, and which one it is, I don't care. Okay, so now we're gonna add our ginger turmeric. So this is the galoop measuring. So okay. We go, there's a galoop.
It's really specific.
Now we're gonna do lemons, half a lemon in each one. Now we're just gonna squeeze these in.
Then came the moment I was waiting for. I tasted Chip's kombucha on two different occasions, a small sip in the brewery, and then a glass shared with a friend at home.
Let me give you a sample here. And then additionally, we put a little bit of butterfly pea flour on top of here. It doesn't change the flavor at all, but it does add a little bit of amino acids and antioxidants to it. It's flavorless, but it is a pH-based color-changing liquid, so it'll turn from that indigo purple on the top of the glass to a magenta red at the bottom with the change in pH of kombucha. It's more for aesthetics than anything else.
So this is the first time I've ever tried kombucha. So describe what I'm likely to taste.
We've had people say that it's just a clean, refreshing, easy to drink summer beverage. Most people actually say this doesn't taste like other kombucha that I've had before. So it's gluten-free because of the sorghum. I mean, once you taste it, it's an easy drinker.
There's a little bit of effervescence on it. Nothing like beer.
No.
But enough to dance along the taste buds.
Definitely. What people describe as brightness of flavor over your palate when you have a little bit of that acidity from the CO2.
It doesn't taste like an alcohol pop, but it doesn't taste like alcohol.
Our bartenders are really, really great about not over-serving people and kind of keeping tabs on how many beers that they've had. Normally people come in, sit on the patio, have one or two kombuchas for the farmer's market, and then go and walk up and down there. So it's not really been a binging type beverage with us.
It is very nice. For me, for white wines, I like to find a nice, what I call a nice veranda wine. I could see this as being a veranda drink where you're sitting out on the veranda,
yeah,
trying to stay cool and drinking this.
Definitely. We have a lot of people take crowlers, to go and do picnics. It's a perfect beverage to be out and about, sitting on your back patio or something like that.
I'm here in my kitchen with my friend Laura.
Hello!
Have you ever had kombucha before?
Like, maybe a sip or two. I'm a little, nervous.
I was the same way. Here, I'll pour you some.
Yeah, just a tiny bit.
Cheers.
Cheers.
What do you think?
Well, that's not bad. It's really clean. The stuff I had was like old tea bags or something. Do you know what I mean? Like it just was not, and I don't really like tea. Like I don't drink like straight tea anyway.
This is much nicer than that.
This is much nicer. This is much nicer.
Take another drink and see what you think.
It's like refreshing. It's more like a, like you would think of it in terms of like a wine spritzer. Right. Okay. Not bad.
That was the alcoholic kombucha, and then the homebrew was almost zero alcohol, and it was when I expressed sentiments similar to Laura's.
Yeah, so the kombucha we're making, and the kombucha we're going to enjoy in just a minute, is almost without a trace of alcohol, less than 0.5% ABV. You could drink it in the morning, you could drink it at night, and it tastes wonderful, and it's good for your belly. Do you want to taste?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that.
So I just pour it through just a little filter.
You now have a lemon, ginger, turmeric, pepper kombucha to enjoy.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh, that's very pleasant.
Thank you.
So this is only the second time that I've tasted kombucha.
Oh, really?
Because I lived abroad when it became popular. And
1,500 years ago?
When it became popular in California.
Oh, okay.
Like 4 years ago.
Okay.
And I came back and visited my sister, and she pointed to a corner of her filthy dining room and said, "That's our kombucha. We love it. We make our own." And then she proceeded to describe it to me, and then other people described it to me, and it never sounded pleasant. Mm-hmm. So I just never tried it. Because the description, when you try to describe what it is, I mean, you're a professional now, so you can describe it very easily in terms that people can both understand and appreciate. But when somebody who's just, consumed a couple bottles wants to describe it to you, they start describing the worst thing you could ever possibly imagine drinking.
Mm-hmm. So the origins of my interest in kombucha go all the way back to July of this year.
Okay. I thought you were going to say 1,500 years ago.
No, very recently.
Well-preserved.
I did a dry July, the cousin of No Booze November. And my favorite alcoholic beverage is a really good IPA. And so I was looking for something to replace that flavor profile and the sharpness of an IPA, and discovered kombucha, and was just a great replacement for an IPA with dinner. Actually, for the entire month of July, I didn't miss my IPAs. And that's why I'm still making kombucha now, is I really enjoy it. And it's just good stuff.
That was my kombucha experience, both on the commercial scale at Night Lizard in Santa Barbara and in the kitchen in San Luis Obispo. It's a simple, straightforward process, as many high-quality foodstuffs are. And for the adventurous who have only had someone like Chip make your kombucha, don't be too intimidated. You said you've done beer. It seems a lot simpler than home brewing beer.
Holy smokes, it's a lot simpler than brewing beer. If you've made beer, making kombucha is the easiest thing in the world. And if you haven't made beer before, making kombucha is still pretty darn easy. Anybody can do it. So just find a friend that has a SCOBY and ask them to tear you off a bit of their SCOBY with a little bit of their unflavored kombucha starter and go to town. Short of adding your tea too hot to your SCOBY, you really can't mess it up. It's a pretty forgiving process. And beer is not always as non-temperamental.
Mmm. Very tasty, very refreshing.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, and no alcohol.
And no alcohol.
And very little caffeine and very little sugar, but lots of flavor.
If I'm awake all night, I'm coming after you.
With or without alcohol, you may enjoy this refreshing drink with Ancient Roots that is reimagined every day here on the Central Coast. This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.